I'm going to bring you a household lesson that we use in my house that we're going to share with you this morning, and it's called Shrinking Circles. And Bonnie, if you'd put that first slide up there, if it's ready. So in my house, we use this idea of shrinking circles. And the reason why we use it is sometimes, and you know how the scriptures say in Galatians 6 that we reap what we sow. And those who reap to the flesh reap corruption, and those who reap sow to the spirit reap life. And the challenge with that is not all consequences in life come quickly. They come in time, they come slowly. And the way we carry ourselves and the way we behave are sowing seed for what's going to happen in the future. If things happened instantly, you know, like if every time someone grabbed a cigarette, they just keeled over and died, and that was all around us all the time, probably wouldn't be a lot of smoking. But because it happens gradually, people still feel like I can get away with this. And so in my house, one of the qualities we talk about in my household is honesty. You know, when you're dishonest, you can sometimes get away with things. And the circle is the freedom that we have, okay? And around us, we have some limitations. And when we're dishonest, sometimes we get away with things. Have you ever been dishonest and getting away and got away with it? Nobody realized it, and you got what you wanted, and you gained. You had some freedom in that. You had opportunities in that. But eventually, people, if you do that enough, people start to catch you, you know, and they start to realize you're being dishonest. And even though you might have gotten, like, I don't know if you've ever grown up with teenage boys, but if there's ever something that boys like food-wise in the household, and they can find it, for some reason you go to bed at night and there was a bunch of it, and you wake up in the morning and it's all gone, right? Because, and nobody knows who ate that stuff. Nobody knows where it went. And when we are dishonest, people start to figure it out, and you got the food, you got to eat it all. So you feel like, I gained a lot. I had a lot of freedom. I got all that food. But what happens is, Bonnie, if we do number two there, what happens is over time, that circle gets smaller. And this is part of why it's hard to change ourselves behaviorally, because we still have freedom, don't we? We still have some freedom, we still have some opportunity, but we've lost some. We don't have as much space anymore. And then, Bonnie, go to the third one. And as we continue to do that, things get smaller. Go ahead to four. Things get smaller. And at some point, we start to realize we're losing some stuff. We start to realize people aren't responding very well to us anymore. They're trying to stay away from us. They're not helping us with things. And we're trying to figure out why we have so many limitations. And usually when we end up in this space, we start doing a lot of complaining and a lot of finger pointing and saying, somebody else is, they're being mean. I don't know why nobody will be there for me. I don't know why everybody's always agitated with me. And many times the reason is because we've done enough sowing that now we're starting to reap. And go to the next one, Bonnie. Sometimes it gets really, really small. And we've lost opportunity. We've lost freedom. And we feel it now. And the hard thing is when we hit a spot like this, sometimes we'll call this, have you ever heard somebody say, I hit rock bottom? Or I've reached the end of my rope? Okay, we get to that spot, and then we think, life is over. What can I do to change this? And sometimes we decide, I'm going to try to do something to change it. Bonnie, go up one more, if you would. And we try to be, oh, whoa, we went, that's really small. You're in bad shape now. Go up two. Go back the other way. Reverse that. Okay, so you start trying, go up one more. So you keep trying to do some right things now. I need to turn my life around. I need to do some things different. And the problem is we're not to that largest circle yet. I've only gained a little bit of trust with people. I've only gained a little bit of freedom now. I've only seen a little bit of change. But I've been working real hard. Have you ever been working real hard at something? You're just seeing this very, very small change in the way people are responding to you and things like that. And it's just coming so gradually. And what happens when it's moving so slowly? Often we start to get frustrated with that, right? And we start to wonder, I don't know if I can ever get back to where I was. I don't even know why I should even try. And we feel that way because we're trying to get back fast to the big circle rather than realizing if I built this thing down to the ground over a period of time, it's going to take a while to build itself back up. And I have to be faithful to sow and sow. And over time, Bonnie, go ahead, keep going up. Go back up to the larger one. Over time, we can get back to this space if we are sowing the right things. But one thing that you might notice with the largest space, there's still limitations to this. We still don't just have just a wide open door for everything. And we can be doing everything right, as if there's ever a possibility of us ever doing everything right. But let's say we're doing everything right or we're doing really good. There's still going to be someone that doesn't like us. There's still going to be somebody that avoids us. There's still going to be suffering that happens and problems that show up. So we will never end up where we just got a fully wide open screen. There will always be limitations. And sometimes people, because of that, still will get frustrated. Have you ever looked at someone's life and you thought, you got this going for you? You got this going for you? You got this going for you? How could you ever complain? Do you ever have that before? You just see all the good things in someone's life and they still don't feel great. You know why? Because they're feeling the restrictions. They don't have it all. And we have to realize that we can have joy in this life and peace and we can be impactful and things like that. It's just we're never going to get it all until one important event, life event, has to happen before we get it all. You know what event that is? Death. You ready to get it all? We must die first before we get all of it. And this whole shrinking circles dynamic works with our ability to reach people for Christ and impact their faith. If we think that we are just going to step into someone's life and they're just going to immediately be responsive to the gospel and we've not built anything up to that, it doesn't mean you can't share the gospel with someone you just met. But if we think that we're just going to start witnessing and then revival's going to break out next week, we don't understand this concept. Also, I don't know if we're reading the Bible at all. Because those guys in the Bible, when the people in Acts started spreading the gospel, there was a lot of cool things that were happening. There were a lot of not so cool things that were happening to them also. Okay? There is resistance to this. It's just not always wide open. And we have to realize that the way we relate to other people is going to affect the way they are receptive to the gospel. In fact, in the book of Acts, and that's what we're going to do this morning, is survey through at least the first half of the book of Acts, and there's a reason. The first half or so of the book of Acts watches the entire church. There's some focus on Peter, but a lot of the entire church is demonstrated in that first half. Then we get more exclusive on the Paul. But we see what happens in the Acts church, and these guys in the Acts church were doing certain things that was resulting in. Do you remember how many were added to their day at the day of Pentecost? Do you know how many people joined their church on that service? 3,000 people chose to join their church in one day. And then throughout the book of Acts, you have more and more were added to their number. You have quoting some numbers, and sometimes it was just multitudes were added, or day after day people were being added. And how was it that this first century church was reaching so many people? And there are multiple factors that sit there, but they were reaching people, and they were reaching people because they were connecting with people. They knew how to connect. They knew how to be with people. They knew how to work with people. And we're going to see that in a moment. And the result was it was an explosion of an increase of the size of the Church of Jesus Christ. But you might say, but listen, connecting with people, I'm introverted. I'm shy. I don't have a lot of friends, and people don't seem to like me. Anybody feel in that boat? People don't seem to like me. I don't know why. Good, nobody's raising their hands. They're just thinking, I don't want to admit this, and other people not like me that are here. Or I'm too busy. I just got too much stuff going on and on my plate. It's not possible I can add some other kind of responsibility. Or I don't know any answers. I don't know what I'm supposed to say to people. So how am I supposed to do this? And I need to remind us of what we've seen so far as we've gone on this journey is, am I going to say that all of those things are a reason why it's okay for me to disobey God? Because haven't we seen that God has given us all a mission to be a light to the world, to help people come to know Christ and to grow in their faith? And am I really going to say, well, I'm introverted, God, so I'm going to disobey you? I'm shy, I'm busy, I don't know answers, and so I'm not going to obey you. Is that really what posture we want to take before the Lord? Or has he given us a mission to fulfill? And listen, I really, when people tell me they're too shy for this, listen, I was antisocial, went through all 4 years of high school, probably spoke 20 words at max at the school during those 4 years. Kept away from everybody, had no friends until I went to college. And you know what the difference was? The Lord got a hold of my life at 18, and things began to change. And I'm standing in front of you doing talking in which I twisted the arms of speech teachers to let me not do the speeches. They would let me put them in writing form and stuff. And if God could take someone like that and make them be able to build relationships, then he can certainly do the same thing with you. And not only do we have an obligation to the Lord, but think about this. How can they hear without a preacher? We know that God can do anything on his own, but for some reason he chose to choose us to be salt and light. Now I want you to look at the person next to you and say, can you believe he chose us? Be careful sounding too convinced about that. He chose to do his work through you and me. And the downside to that is that means that if we choose to be inactive, if we choose to not do the work that he's called us to do, then there are people all around us that secondarily will not get to know the peace that you know, will not get to know the joy that you know, the strength that has showed up at difficult times, the transformation in life and who you are. They won't get to know that. The deliverance from depression and anxiety and worry and all of those things, they won't get to know that secondarily. But primarily, do you know there's only two destinations after we die? There's one very, very, very troublesome place. And listen, if you don't like heat, and the alternative, the only other option, is paradise. And there are people all around us that if we start being the light, there is an opportunity that a switch could happen for them, that all of a sudden they're no longer going from the most horrible place to going to paradise. We have every reason in the world that we need to learn how to relate to people and how to connect and how to build relationships. And we are able to do that. Do you know that? We are capable. And you might look at me and your neighbor and you think, I don't know what he's talking about, but I certainly do not have the capacity to do what he's talking about. Well, listen, we have the ability given to us by God to overcome obstacles and failures. Have you ever failed before? Isn't that the mercy and grace of God, is we can fail at this and still be given the opportunity to do the mission? We can push through the challenges, but we have the Bible. Now, these three resources that we have, they're available, but we don't have to choose to use them. So the degree with which we use the resources God has given us is going to impact how much power and ability that we have. Because we can't say, if I'm not using the Word of God, where am I going to get the wisdom from? Where am I going to get the guidance to know what it is and how I'm supposed to? Where do you think these messages have come from? That's where the insight comes. Whenever somebody tells me I've given a good sermon, happens maybe once or twice every other month. When someone tells me I've given a good sermon, you know what? I don't always say it with my mouth, but you know I always think in my head. Sometimes I say it with my mouth. God has given me great material. This book gives us so much guidance and insight and also encouragement in doing the things that we're called to do. Also, Christian fellowship. The degree with which we decide to dwell with other believers, Sundays, Wednesdays, in our homes, in different ways that we connect with other believers. Because here's the thing. Have you ever read something? And I'm not even talking about the Bible, but definitely the Bible as well. But have you ever read something and you thought, I can't believe what I just read. And you go show someone else and they go, that's not what that says. And they show you you were reading that whole thing wrong. Have you ever had that before? You say, I was totally misreading this. Or have you ever misread another person? So-and-so's really mad at me. And then you ask someone else, and then maybe you eventually go talk to them, and you find out that you were misreading them. Have you ever gotten things wrong before? We have a tendency to get things wrong in life, even with the Scriptures. And part of the strength in Christian fellowship is in it. That's why I get real frustrated when I try to wrangle with the Scriptures with someone, and they stop with the Scriptures, and they just want to argue philosophically instead of bringing the Scriptures into it, or they just want to end the conversation, and they just want to run. So many people are always running from me for some reason. I don't know what that's about, but they just want to run from me. And it's because people get uncomfortable when we start looking at the Bible and say, well, what does the Bible say about how I feel about this person? What does the Bible say about me choosing to not do this? And we just have a way, we're like kids that can find their way to get out of everything. We just have an excuse for everything. And we're like that. And that's why the Bible sometimes needs some help. Not that it needs help, but God has told us to have Christian fellowship. What does Proverbs say? That iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And so we need other people in our lives to go, that's not what the Bible meant by that. We need someone to hold our feet to the fire because we're ornery. And we need that. And we claim not capable because we're not participating in the fellowship of the body of Christ or the fellowship of the Spirit like we saw last week. I need the Holy Spirit in my life. It's the only way I could do the things that God has called me to do. And you know what the restriction is that Jesus gave for you to receive the work of the Holy Spirit in your life? One thing. You know what it is? How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? That's the only thing. Just ask. But we have to ask and keep on asking. So when we're hot and cranky and we don't want to be nice to that person, what do? Ask. Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit right now because I'm going to lose my mind. Help me to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, I'm cowering and I'm afraid to get involved in this ministry or afraid to witness to that person. Lord, fill me right now with Holy Spirit and help me to overcome my fear. And our lack in asking for that is the reason we don't have the capacity to do it. Because yes, we in our bodies and in our minds, we can't do it. But He has chosen to give us everything we need to do the mission. And part of doing it effectively is doing it the way the first century church did it. And they knew how to connect with people. And you know what the beauty to me of the Scriptures are? I don't know why people don't read it every day. I know it well, but I'm constantly getting more and more insight and more understanding. And the Scripture has a way of teaching the primary thing, but then helping us out in a parallel form with some other things. Because if we learn how to connect with people, the first and most important thing is to reach people for the gospel. But if we learn how to connect with other people, it's transferable skills to other things. If we know how to connect with people, we know how to do marriage better. If we know how to connect with people, we know how to do parenting and family better. If we know how to connect with people, did you know that your financial situation gets better if you know how to connect with people? One, because people love to help nice people, okay? They don't like to help people that don't know how to work with people. But also, people who are doing your interview, if you know how to connect with that person, there's a better chance you get that job. Or if you know how to connect with that boss, there's a better chance that you can get into a better space with that. These are transferable skills. Plus, if you're looking for friends, anybody ever feel like you have no friends? A lot of the reason we can point to other people and say, it's just I'm around a lot of mean people that don't care about anybody. Or we can ask, am I not connecting well with others? And if I'm looking for a spouse, I could point the finger and say, there's just no good guys out there. All the guys are horrible. Which might be true for some of us. Or there's no good ladies out there. But a lot of it has to do I know how to connect? And so these skills are transferable into a lot of areas, but most importantly, why am I not leading anyone to Christ? Why am I not discipling people and moving people forward in their faith? It has to do with my ability to connect with others. So how did the disciples in the first century connect with others? Well, first, I have to have good character. It starts there. Now, I'm not doing anything yet necessarily. I'm just a certain kind of person. In Acts 1:14, it says all these were with one accord. In Acts 4:32, now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. No one said that anything that belonged to him was his own, but they had all things in common. These people were agreeable with one another. Now you might say we're not supposed to agree with everybody or everything. You're right. You're right. Now, if you're thinking that, you might be a disagreeable person, by the way, just to point that out. There is a space to disagree, but we also need to learn how to get along with people. We need to know how to be agreeable with each other, because listen, that person who's always correcting your English, do you like being around that person? Do you try to avoid that person? That person who's in the back seat of your car that's always correcting the way you're driving, Do you invite them? Will you come with me on a car ride? Do you want them into your life? Do you ask them for advice? No, you try to stay away from them, right? And it might be right or wrong, but it's human nature to avoid disagreement. And I'm going to send people running if I decide, hey, let's get together real quick. Let's find out all the things we disagree about. And have you ever talked to people that used to argue about everything? It doesn't matter what you say. That's not right because da-da-da. And they're just always arguing with you. And these people can't reach anybody because people are always running from them. And we have to learn to get along with each other and be agreeable. Did you know that you can disagree with something and not say it? Did you know we don't have to always say when we disagree? And we don't even have to show it. Some people are like, I won't say it, but... they see you, you know, and it has an effect. And remember those shrinking circles? The more disagreeable I am, the smaller my influence begins to become. And that doesn't mean if you've been that way that that circle can't expand, but it's going to take time for people to trust that I'm not going to nitpick them or critique them all the time. And so I need to be agreeable. And it needs to be proportionate. You might say, I don't know where this is coming. I'm not sure if this is biblical or not. You're thinking that. I know it is. It doesn't need to be 50-50, by the way. Okay, so for every one disagreement, I'm going to have one agreement. 50-50 is actually not the right proportion. Because if you're around someone that half the time they're criticizing you, is that working either? It actually needs to be disproportionate, more in favor of the agreeableness versus the disagreeableness. And I need to be selective and careful when I'm disagreeing. And you might, again, say, I don't know if that's biblical. Well, you remember this scripture? Let your speech be with grace as though seasoned with salt. Now, do you put mashed potatoes, do you put 50% salt in those mashed potatoes? Half the dish is salt. That's not how seasoning works, is it? We put a small portion of seasoning and a lot of the other thing, which means, and I don't know if there's an exact ratio of this, but it probably should be more like 90-10. 90 agreeable, 10 disagreeable. In fact, when people get upset with me, you know what I start thinking sometimes in my head? We both believe in Jesus, right? We both believe in the resurrection. We both believe in the inspiration of Scripture. We both believe in holy living. Do we both believe in the return of Jesus Christ? Do we both believe that it's good to be a part of the body of Christ? Do we believe that the mission is to reach the lost? Because I bet that most people around us, even unbelievers to a lesser degree, I bet we agree with the people around us more on more things than we disagree about. But what are the things we like to point out? We like to fight about the things we disagree about. But I bet you and I and those around us are in a lot more agreeable place. And when we go and we try to witness to somebody, if we start out with a, well, I'm here to tell you all the ways you're wrong, and I'm going to set you straight, so sit down. We got a little bit of a thing to work out. We're going to get at it here, okay? Now you might say, but listen, I see in the Gospels and I see in Acts that there's confrontation that's happening. One of this is our inability to interpret Scripture well, because we have to know that there's a context to what we're seeing. Because yes, as Paul plows into an area and confronts, usually when the heavy confrontation is being directed at someone, you know who it's being directed at? Jesus did the same thing. It's the people who were the religious people. It's the people who knew. It's the people that he had encounters with already. And they're just not getting it. So at some point, if they're not getting it, we confront, right? But we don't have to always just come in and you know, get at people. We don't, sometimes I'm thinking things and I'm not going to say it, but. agreeable, but also respectable. In Acts 2, 46 and 47 captures this phrase of these people. And they were praising God and having favor with all the people. Or Acts 5 captures this statement, but the people held them in high esteem. Now, not everybody's going to respect us, but we need to behave in a way that is respectable. Because listen, I might be nice, but if I'm a fool that's nice, nobody's taking advice from me. Why would I trust my whole eternity to someone who's a fool? And we have to carry some level of respectability. And that might balance out some of the agreeableness, that I'm not going to necessarily agree with everything, but I'm going to make sure I'm respectable enough to have boundaries, respectable enough to not tolerate things that are horrible. And so there's a balance to that. And so it starts with being the right kind of person. But then, and this is the hard part, then I need to begin to be proactive. I have this experience in my own ministry that just surprises me all the time. And I get it everywhere I go. Sometimes I get invited to speak and minister and interact in other places outside of here. And I get it out there also. That anytime I start to mention the responsibilities that we have before God, you know what people start to do immediately? Like often they tell me, well, God's the one that needs to take care of that. God takes care of those things. And God needs to do that. And I'm just going to trust God. And all true things. God is sovereign and we need to trust him. But how many things are not being transformed in this world because there is no salt or light in it? And all the while we're using trusting God in order for me to cower in fear to the mission and to the world by claiming I'm trusting in God. In reality, we were told, we don't see that in Acts. Do we see them gathering together and pray? Yes, we do. But do we see them out there and doing a lot of stuff constantly? It says they were day to day together and adding more to their number. They were focused on this mission constantly doing activity. And yet we like to just say, I'm just going to trust God that he's going to transform this neighborhood. How's that worked out for us so far? For the culture and the way it is today, did you know that 90% or greater Christians never witness or share their faith to others? How's that working out for us? We are called to be proactive in our faith. And it starts with pursuing people. We need to go after people. You know that? So when Joyce says she'll be here every once in a while, you could just go after her. Drive an hour down the road and go get her. And just, she's small. You can get her. But we go after people. That's why I'm doing door-to-door. I'm going out there and I'm pursuing people. And the way we pursue people is we need to be present with them. These guys, and this word surfaces a number of times in Acts 1, they were together. In Acts 2, they were in fellowship. In Acts 2, again, they were together. In Acts 4, they were gathered together. In Acts 5, they were all together. They had this constant being with other people. And again, I'm introverted. I get tired when I'm with other people. I just want to be alone sometimes. I get it. But listen, I keep getting with people because, listen, we can't reach them if we're not with them. And so we have to start being with people. Jesus was with people all the time. Peter and Paul and the church were with people all the time. If we're going to start reaching people, we need to start being with them. But sometimes we're with people and nothing still happens. Have you ever been with somebody and you can look at their face and you can tell there's nothing happening in here at all right now? There's nothing. There's no interaction. You ever leave a group of people and you're like, who was I with? I don't even know any of them. I don't know what's going on. I don't feel a connection to anybody. So just being with somebody isn't enough to make the connection. There is more to it than that. In fact, the disciples, when they were together, one of the things they liked to do for one another is to pray for each other and pray for the Lord to be at work in their lives. Again, we see in Acts 1, devoting themselves to prayer. In Acts 2, devoting themselves to prayers. In Acts 4, when Peter got delivered from the prison and showed up at the door of one of the gatherings of the believers, they came in and they all prayed for one another because they were showing by that prayer how much they were concerned about each other's welfare. And when we are with people, we need to show that we care. That doesn't mean I need to be doing all the talking all the time. It doesn't mean I need to talk a lot, but I do need to say some. Because have you ever been with somebody that's like pulling teeth to get this guy to say anything, right? They just won't say anything. I'm asking questions, and it's like, You know, teenage guys like to do that. When you ask them questions, you know what the answer is? The standard answer is, There's a reason why Tim Allen did that whole grunt thing. Because that's how guys like to communicate, you know, just, What does that mean? Especially if you're not asking it yet, you're asking a specific question. Where are we going to go in an hour? What do I get from that? Okay? And so sometimes we have to talk sometimes. And I don't know what to say. Then ask some questions. How's your day going? What's going on in your life? Ask some questions. I don't know. What if they ask me questions? Answer the questions. Just start talking to people and try to connect and show concern for one another. Also, Acts 2, they were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. Acts 2, the Lord was adding to their number day by day. They were doing the mission. They were breaking bread in their homes. Acts 4, they were continuing to speak the word of God with boldness. Acts 5, again, more were added to their number daily. You know what they were doing together? They were doing stuff that they were all interested in doing together. Now, it had a spiritual focus, which should be what happens in the body of Christ, but they were doing things that they all liked together. And if we want to know how to connect with someone, if you want to know how to connect with Don, if we go golfing with you, would that work? Sure. Yeah, you want to connect with Don, you go golfing or you fix something, okay? All right? If you want to connect with Joyce or Diane, you start putting a room in order with them. You'll connect with them real fast, okay? You want to connect with a mom, start talking about their children with the mom. You'll probably connect with them. Share interests with each other. Take interest and do the things that we like together. And all of a sudden, because think about that, the people you are hanging out with the most are probably the people that like doing the same things that you do. And if we're going to learn to connect with others, then we have to learn how to relate to each other. Part of reaching people is know how to relate to them. And so I have to go after them. And then I have to also meet needs. Acts 2, they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as they had need. Acts 4, no one said that anything belonged to them, but they had everything in common. They were willing to give up anything they had. People were selling their houses. Okay? Acts 4, there was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what they sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each one as they had need. These guys, if they saw that there was a need, they did something about it. Now, we might say, well, I don't have that much money. I don't have a house to sell. And besides, where would I live if I sold my house? Hey, I don't have a lot of stuff. You have a lot more stuff than you think you have. It might not be material possessions, but you have an ability to love somebody, to encourage them, to be there with them when they're going through hard times, to pray with them, to help them to not be lonely, to encourage them, to do stuff with them, to serve them. All of us can do some things, right? And when we see needs, we meet needs. The church was exploding in the first century because they were out with people and helping people out, and more, day after day, people were being added to their number. But also, think of this, Acts 2, having favor with all people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now, how are they going to have, who are they having favor with? Because if someone was being added to the church, then it had to be that they had favor with someone who was outside of the church, right? Am I wrong in that? They're not adding to their, like, they're not just, we don't see in the book of Acts, Paul says, all right, how are we going to do this mission thing? Well, let's hold a prayer meeting and wait for them to show up. We'll just, if you pray it, they will come, right? Isn't that the Field of Dreams model? If you pray it, they will come. Okay? That's not what they did. They went outside the church to get them. We see in Acts 5, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared to join them. So sometimes people are a little scared of us, which we got to get over our rejection issues, by the way. Did you know that? It's not you, it's the Lord when they're rejecting. Did you know that? Okay? So sometimes people don't respond well, but listen. But the people held them in high esteem, and more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets. Look, they're moving outside of this church gathering. They're getting out into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by at least the shadow might fall on them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. God was doing a work and doing ministry, and they were doing it inside the church, and they were doing it outside the church. We're not going to reach this neighborhood unless we go out to them. And again, we've been praying. I've been praying for God to draw people to this church, and sometimes that happens. But we've been doing that for 7 years with me and longer without me. And where are they? They're out there waiting for us to be the salt and light that God called us to be. We will not reach an unbeliever if we're not with the unbeliever. Lastly, we need to respect limitations. This is hard for us. In Acts chapter 6, there is a scenario that happened, and they had to resolve something. It says that now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because the widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. So there was a need and it wasn't getting taken care of. Something wasn't getting resolved. And so they said something. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables." Do you know what the apostles said when they were told there was a need? They said, "We're not taking care of it." They said no. Now, they did attempt to arrange for someone else to take care of it, but they said, "We're not helping. I thought we were supposed to help each other. Why are these guys saying, no, we're not going to help?" Now, they said, "No, we're not going to help, because if we were to do that, we wouldn't be able to do this responsibility." Did you know that you can't do everything? Do you know that? You are limited. We can't do everything for everybody. We can't be everywhere for everybody all the time. We have limitations. But those limitations need to be measured not by us carving out time to do everything we would like to do with our lives, but figuring out what is it that I'm responsible for. And listen, part of that needs to be the mission. Because if I'm saying yes to job all the time and I'm never saying yes to mission, something's not right. If I'm saying yes to friends or family all the time, but I'm never saying yes to mission, something's not right. But if I'm saying yes to mission so much that I'm not taking care of my family responsibilities, something's not right there either. If I'm saying yes to mission, but I'm never saying yes to getting some rest, like God told us with the Sabbath, something's not right. And so it's a time management thing. And so sometimes I say no to some of you, because I have limitations, and that's the thing that we have to remember. If I have limitations, everybody around me has limitations. And I have to need to learn that there is no one person in my life that can meet every one of my needs. Did you know that? Not even your spouse can meet all of your needs. That's why he's given us the body of Christ, and that's why he's given us himself, because there is nobody that can meet all of our needs. And we have to accept that, or we're going to get disgruntled, frustrated, because there was something I wanted to help with and I couldn't, and so I don't know why I'm doing this mission thing. Well, am I doing some things? That's the measure. Or I get frustrated because nobody's helping me, nobody's there for me. Well, have you ever gotten this from someone before? You call someone and they say, "Wow, it's about time. You've never called me in a long time. I don't know why you stopped calling me all of a sudden. I've been wondering when you were going to show up." Have you ever had that before? Some of you are not responding because you're the person who says that. And whenever I receive that response, you know what I'm usually thinking? You know how to work that phone too, don't you? You know how to get me, don't you? And we're doing the whole trusting God, but not trusting God scenario of like, Lord, give me friends. And we're just going to sit there and wait for them to show up. Or give me friends. And then we're bitter and we're agitated and we're grumpy every time they're around. Give me friends, Lord. I have to choose to be the one that's also pursuing. And I have to know that, listen, people have families. People have jobs. People have health issues. People have things that they have to take care of. And we have to be okay with that this one person isn't there for me all the time. And if we can't get that, we're going to struggle in this mission thing. But we have one more limitation. In Acts 2, they were devoted. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. We saw a few weeks ago in 1 Peter and 2 Peter a few passages that showed us that we are called to orient our lives around the Word of God. And so when we attempt to reach people, we're going to try to be agreeable. We're going to try to accommodate. We're going to try to be pleasant. We're going to try to demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. You know the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is be agitated, grumpy, and rebuke everybody. That's the fruit of the Spirit, right? The fruit of the Spirit is you let people know where they're supposed to stand politically. You just set those people straight. They're not reading WebMD enough. They don't know this medical stuff, right? We need to set these people straight. That's fruit of the Spirit, right? Galatians 5. No, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Doesn't that even sound refreshing? It is good to be around that kind of person. But we cannot do that and disregard clear boundaries from Scripture. And so if the Scriptures, and I mean clear boundaries, because sometimes we wrangle over things that are disputable in Scripture. I mean clear ones. If to reach this person I have to cross a clear biblical line and violate the teachings of Scripture, I can't do that. I'm limited. I cannot disobey God in order to reach this person or in order to reach these groups of people. And so, and that's why we've been focusing. We saw this on our Wednesday group. Time and time again in the Gospels and in Acts, when a hot confrontation showed up, you know what it was over? Somebody was getting in the way of the mission. Somebody was hindering the mission. And I would rather keep pushing the mission and keep pushing the mission. And if people are going to walk away or get scared away because we keep emphasizing what the mission is, I can't not emphasize the mission. The whole reason you have the Holy Spirit in your life, what did we see in Acts 1:8? The Holy Spirit came upon them, and they will be my witnesses. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? If you would stand with me this morning. There is so much, again, I don't know if you understand how much God can do with your life. You might be saying, well, listen, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a good speaker. I've not been a Christian for long. I got a lot of baggage behind me. I'm introverted. I have a lot of issues. God can take any person that's willing and do amazing things through the life of that person. But we have to choose to surrender. We have to choose to be the kind of person that people will be drawn to. Why do you think we're the light of the world? When you're in darkness, what do you see when light shows up? You look at the light. You're looking for the light. We are called to be that. And if I'm not out there with people, if I'm not seeking people and building relationships with others, then I cannot do the thing that God has called me to do. And listen, there is very possibly somebody that their eternal destination is hanging in the balance for you to get over your fear of people, for you to get over your anxiety over being social, for you to start managing your time better. Eternity is at stake, and He doesn't leave us alone. He does not leave us alone in this. He's given us His Word. He's given us body of Christ, and He's given us the Holy Spirit. And I think that some of you here this morning, you're not pursuing the mission. And you're struggling in different ways. And guess what? He's the answer for all of those struggles. What did Jesus say? In worship team, you can begin to lead us. Take my yoke upon you, for it is easy and it is light. Doesn't that sound nice? Don't you want easy and light? It's found in surrendering to the mission that God has created you for and made you capable of. But you need refreshed. But you need strengthened. But you need wisdom. But you need repentance. And as the worship team leads, if that's you, then come and seek the Lord at these altars this morning. Sometimes we look at the strong side of Peter, the strong side of John, and we forget that when Jesus chose them, they were in the lowest of class. They were fishermen. They didn't have much. And they weren't learned. They weren't educated. They were bypassed. Jesus chose them. In fact, numerous times when they began to do the work, the people would say, aren't these kind of people? Paul, we remember Paul for the great things that he did. And sometimes we forget that he was absolutely rebellious towards the Lord, fighting against the church and attacking it, persecuting it. Sometimes we forget that the lady who led her whole town to Christ was the woman who was an adulterous, immoral, many husbands in her past woman that he met at the well in Samaria. And Jesus chose to sit down and talk with her. And she changed the whole town.
That's right. That's right.
We don't have to be anything to be able to do anything. We just have to walk in trust and surrender. Amen? We, with God's strength, are going to be a part of building his church. Doesn't that sound like a fantastic thing to be a part of? So, speaking of fantastic things to be a part of, we have some food to eat. And what we're going to do, I'm going to pray for our food here together, and then we'll go to our different places. Now, all the food is located downstairs in the fellowship hall. It's a little warm down there. We don't have air conditioning downstairs. It's partially underground, and so it's not as warm as the first floor. But we also have the nursery and this prayer room right there that has a few couches in it are also accessible for seating if you'd like to go in those rooms to eat. We also, if you go outside this door and go next door, we own the house. The church owns the house that's next door. That's been having an air conditioning unit and a window unit running in there. It's not all the way down to 70, but it's in mid-70s or so, so it's cool over there. So if you need to find a cooler spot, those places are available to you. If you are able to do steps and you can go downstairs and get your food and bring it up, great. If you're not able to do steps, we have some team members that are going to come check those areas and see if they can't help you get a plate of food. And do me a favor, just get one plate, just one normal plate of food first as you go through and then find your seats. If the hot dogs and hamburgers are not quite ready yet, just exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, right? Be patient. It's coming, okay? We just have a lot of good things to have together. Thank you so much for inviting people. Whether you invited people when they came or they did not come, this is how we build the church, right? We tell them, listen, there's a great thing that God can do in your life. Why don't you come be a part of it? Amen? So let's pray, and then we'll go ahead and begin to make our way downstairs. Lord, thank you so much for the work that you do in our lives. And I ask, Lord, that as we go forward today, as we fellowship, as we serve, as we go home, everything that we do, help us to be in sync with the Holy Spirit. Help us to be made alive by the Spirit. And may you enable us, Lord, and help us trust you enough to walk in it, to walk it out, but enable us to be salt and light. Enable us to demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit to others, and help us to be a part of helping people come to faith in Christ and helping people grow in their faith in Christ. We ask for it for your glory in Jesus' name. And everyone, oh, and Lord, we ask for your blessing on this food. Thank you for it. And we do truly thank you for your provisions. Though people made the food, bought the food, Lord, you are our source of provision. And so we give you thanks for providing for us. We do ask your bless those that are serving and have set things in order for us. Enrich their lives, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go eat.